Omaha Public Radio presents a special luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we'll hear a debate between the two candidates for mayor of the city of Omaha in next Tuesday's election. The participants will be the incumbent mayor, Jean Stothert, seeking her second term in office, and her challenger, Heath Mello, a former member of the Nebraska unicameral, representing the 5th District. This program, co-sponsored by the League of Women Voters of Greater Omaha, was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Friday afternoon, April 14, 2017, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the candidates and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, the League of Women Voters, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to begin with the first question is Brian Mastery, anchorman and reporter for WOWT-TV, Channel 6.
We begin with Mayor Stothert. We have the window blinds closed here, as you can see. Otherwise, we would have a great view of the riverfront.
Absolutely.
Considerable progress has been made over the years on the riverfront. But if we'd look out right now, you would see a failed restaurant, and it was supposed to be the centerpiece of development, and a lot of concrete covering lead-contaminated soil. Does that bother you?
Well, first of all, you don't see a failed restaurant because it's been demoed, so you don't see anything on that area down there now. But no, we have right now a great committee of business and philanthropic leaders, as well as myself and Mayor Walsh, that are working on that property that the city owns, and that's from the Bob Carey south, including the landing, including Heartland of America Park, and then going west and including the Gene Leahy Mall. And what we have done is we just put out an RFQ. We got the results back already. And we are going to hire someone that will design that area for us. Now, again, this is an area that is a former Superfund site, so we had to do a lot of engineering work first. We had Lamprey-Nielsen engineer it to let us know exactly what we could do there and what we couldn't do there. You can't drill down and you can't violate the environmental cap on there. But we are moving forward with a great plan for that area. And this is not something that's pie in the sky in the future. This is something that our business and philanthropic community are really engaged in and want to help fund too. And just to show you our progress on this too, we want to be able, once we develop that riverfront, is to be able to give people a straight shot to it. Right now it's kind of like turn by the pine tree and then you turn here and by the railroad tracks. So we are actually engineering right now, doing some engineering work on what it would take to punch Capitol Avenue straight on through. So if people want to go down to the riverfront, you go down Capitol and you're there. But we want to design something that will bring people down there every day of the year, and it will be Omaha's new signature.
Senator Mello, you have 90 seconds.
Well, first off, thank you, Brian, and I'd like to thank, obviously, the Omaha Press Club for hosting us today, the League of Women Voters, and WWT for televising today's debate over the lunch hour, as well as on tonight's news. And to some extent, what I've heard from people across the city is that our riverfront is a unique opportunity we have. But the biggest concern people keep raising to me is the lack of public engagement in the process of evaluating the opportunities, as well as looking at what we actually want to see the riverfront do outside of just development. The one thing that has been clear is that we have opportunities in North Downtown right now, as well as opportunities at the Heartland America Park and the former ConAgra World Headquarters campus. And what we haven't been having the discussion is how the riverfront area outside or just east of the CenturyLink Center will serve as that bridge and serve as the public bridge more than anything else. While I, as a candidate, may have a vision of my own in regards to seeing that space be a more public space that brings people from Elkhorn to South Omaha to North Omaha all to want to stay and spend quality time there, the biggest concern is what we haven't heard are people, actually taxpayers, coming to the seat at the table and giving their feedback, giving their input, and letting the city administration know this is what we want to see the downtown look like, this is what we want to see the riverfront look like. And I think for me, that would be my first step as Omaha's next mayor.
Mayor Stothert, you have 30 seconds.
That's not actually accurate. We've had a huge amount of public engagement. In fact, when we first started really diving into the waterfront during my administration, we did a ULI study. The Urban Land Institute came here, and then it was followed up with the Rose Fellowship that I was one of four mayors in the country. And with that process, we really engaged the community. We had multiple people in the community attend those meetings and talk about really what they wanted to see in that area. And as we continue on with the study that we're doing now with our business and philanthropic leaders, we will engage the community once we have an original plan that comes forth to us. And we've also had a lot of engagement with the Gene Leahy Mall.
Senator Mello, 30 seconds.
I think as much as anything else, this is an issue that I've raised throughout the campaign, and it's just simply a different style and different philosophical approach, which is I believe we should be engaging taxpayers first at the beginning of projects instead of after we've spent a lot of time, energy, and money coming up with ideas and then presenting them to the taxpayers. I think for me it's a fundamental different way of how you govern, of how you look to engage people, of bringing them at the front end of a process instead of simply at the back end.
You guys are doing great, following time cues. Congratulations on the first question.
It's hard to miss the stop sign.
Well, you might not see it at home, but it's just off to my left here, right there. I keep waiting for Ann to give it to me. Second question, this is for Senator Mello. When cities lure a company to town, it sometimes seems as though mayors, other elected officials, give away the farm. And then when that company leaves, gone are those jobs, along with millions of dollars in tax incentives, and an empty building. We're asking today, is it worth it, and should the company have to pay back some of that money?
Well, Brian, that's a great question, and I think that's been a conversation that people across the city have been having since ConAgra moved their world headquarters to Chicago. That we as a state back in the mid-1980s really went out of our way to create really the first economic development incentive toolbox in the country to try to keep ConAgra from leaving Omaha to go somewhere else. And I would say over a number of years at the state level that we have seen changes, tweaks, and reforms to our existing economic development tools and packages to try to ensure that we as a state are competitive in regards to bringing new companies into Omaha. I think what we have been able to do at the state level, and to some extent some of my work as a state senator over last year, is making sure that when the state does provide tax incentives to companies, if they don't fulfill their requirements, that there's a clawback mechanism available for the state to be able to get their funding back, as well as the city to be able to get their funding back when they give up sales tax to these companies. Moving forward, I think that is going to continue to be probably the linchpin of any major reforms we see moving forward at the local level and at the state level when it comes to providing tax incentives to try to attract companies and or to assist existing companies to expand, is making sure that we can make an argument to taxpayers of why we're doing what we're doing, but also make sure that if a company doesn't keep their promise, that we're able to go back and claw back that funding back on behalf of taxpayers, both in the short term and the long term.
Mayor Southert, 90 seconds.
Well, yeah, I think right now we don't have many economic development tools. With the state, LB 775 happens to be one of them. With the city, we offer TIF for the development of businesses. But if you're just talking about ConAgra, I want to say ConAgra was here for around 40 years. And ConAgra was an enormous city partner, and they have not gone yet. You know, they still occupy 3 of the 5 buildings down there. They're still one of the top 50 employers in the city, and there's still 1,200 employees down there. So the incentives that they receive, in my opinion, have certainly paid off now over the 40-year period. And they are still going to develop that area, too. There's a great development that is planned. I've seen it. I know what it's going to look like. They're going to announce it probably in June this year, and I'm going to be right there side by side with them. So all is not lost with ConAgra. But, of course, we want our businesses, our current businesses to grow, and we really want to work on new businesses coming in. And that's one thing why we have such a good partnership with the Greater Omaha Chamber. And I have been to many, many meetings out of state with the Omaha Chamber working on attracting new businesses here, and they have done a great job. Since I have been mayor, there has been around 250 economic development projects since 2014 with the Prosper Omaha plan that they have attracted to Omaha with an investment value of around $1.8 billion. So, you know, working together, we have done a great job of giving the incentives that we have available and trying to keep our existing businesses like ConAgra here and attracting more all the time.
30 seconds, Senator Mello.
Well, I would respectfully disagree with the mayor in regards to the work the legislature and two governors have been working on in regards to economic development at the state level. We've been able to provide $10 million to the state's job training cash fund. We were able to create actually a bill of mine, the Omaha Land Bank bill, back in 2013. And just last year, we were able to create the Property Assessed Clean Energy Financing Act, which allows cities like Omaha to be able to provide better financing for energy efficient upgrades to both residential and commercial properties outside of more funding for internships and more funding for industrial site development. And I think that ability to work with Republicans and Democrats in the legislature and the governor will serve Omaha well as I'm Omaha's next mayor.
Mayor Stockwell.
And I don't believe that was the question. You know, the question isn't these different incentives like the PACE program, which just recently the city of Omaha will be the first city in the state of Nebraska that will take advantage of it. The land bank is something, of course, that was created by the legislature, but it takes the city and an ordinance to get it going here. But I don't believe that's what we're talking about when we're talking about incentives and should they be paid back if a business left. And so that's what I was talking about with my comments. You know, there is a normal business cycle, and businesses have to do what they have to do. And a lot of times they reorganize. But we always try to work very hard to let our existing businesses grow and to bring new businesses in with every incentive that we have available.
Next question is for Mayor Stothert. The Omaha wheel tax, I'm sure you guys are unaware that the wheel tax celebrated its 100th anniversary.
Yes,
is
I am.
Is there a party?
I know that.
It started as a dollar tax, and then it's now up to 50. But that tax, if you remember, well, you don't remember, but reading about it, was a temporary tax.
I probably remember, but.
So the restaurant tax is just a few years old, but it brings in more than $30 million annually. It did not cause diners to flee the city. Mayor Stothert, as an initial opponent of the restaurant tax and having 4 years to do something about it and deciding not to, and Senator Mello, you've pitched a plan to keep the tax but cap the amount that it brings into city coffers. Are both of you prepared today to admit that this tax really is a permanent tax?
No. And let me tell you, I voted against the restaurant tax when I was a city council member because I really don't favor occupation taxes. When you tax, they have to be broad-based and they have to be fair. And at that time, it was only targeting the restaurant industry. They were opposed to it, and I had a lot of fears that it was going to hurt our restaurant industry. So I voted against it. The restaurant tax, I have to say, was never meant to go all in the fire and police pension. If you look at the ordinance, it says nothing about fire and police pension. It's an occupation tax, and like all occupation taxes, it goes into the general fund. I chose property tax relief my first 4 years of mayor over restaurant tax, and here is why. The number one tax that our citizens in Omaha complain about is the property taxes, and especially with the Turk ruling last year with the state that raised valuations 7% and with the increased valuations from the Douglas County assessor this year, it's property taxes that are hurting the property owners, the residential owners, the business owners more. So in my first term, I made the decision, and I think it was the right decision, to choose property tax relief first. Now, the restaurant tax, it was always a goal, and it still is a goal, and I want it to remain a goal. It's a tax that I really don't like, but I think capping it would be an administrative nightmare. I want to reduce it and get rid of it. I don't want to keep on using it, and I think that that's very possible to do.
Senator Mello, is the restaurant tax a permanent tax?
Well, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with the mayor in the sense that I just don't see the mayor having any real credibility to talk about the restaurant tax, because 4 years ago, it's been well documented that the mayor then as a candidate campaigned against this tax and said that she would repeal it. 4 years later, the restaurant tax is not only still in place, but it's been expanded. And so while I'm willing to put my tax cutting record in the legislature against this mayor's any day of the week, particularly in light of property taxes, knowing that we cut more property taxes in 1 year as my term as chairman of the Appropriations Committee than the mayor has done over the last 8 years in City Hall, I think the simple fact of saying that you'd like to still eliminate this tax just doesn't carry any water moving forward. Now, I'm the only candidate who came out and was honest with taxpayers and said that I'm not going to make a promise that I know I can't keep. Too many people run for public office saying things that they know they can't do. And what I said we would do is we would cap the restaurant tax as growth. Because over the last four, since essentially the creation of the restaurant tax, we've seen the average growth be about 4.5%. I said the best way for me as a candidate, not being in City Hall, not seeing the city's books the way that the mayor can right now, the best way to address this tax is to simply be able to cap the growth of the tax moving forward. And then with the money we see over that cap, we're then able to lower the actual tax rate year over year. It's a responsible approach. We've been able to do that at the legislative level on other taxes. And I think it can work in City Hall as well.
Yeah, but it's a permanent tax in your view?
I've said before, I've always said that I don't see how the city right now can eliminate the restaurant tax in light of it bringing in $32 million and seeing to some extent it covering the mayor's budget gaps over the last 4 years to the tune of $100 million. Dollars that it's brought in.
30 seconds, Mayor Stafford.
Well, the mayor didn't have budget gaps over the last 4 years. The mayor turned all of the deficits into surpluses, and it is not just because of the restaurant tax. You might as well say it's because of sales tax or property tax. It's because we managed the budget very carefully. In my race for mayor, I did not promise to repeal the restaurant tax. I promised to reduce the tax burden, and I promised not to raise taxes. I haven't raised taxes, and we have lowered the tax burden with the property tax. And also, as far as promising that you have cut property taxes in the legislature, beware that politician who overtaxes, puts tax money that's already collected into a fund, gives it back to the people, and says this is property reform. It is not. It's a tax shift.
Mr. Mello, 30 seconds.
Well, it's always interesting to hear Mayor Stothert wanting to attack Governor Dave Heineman, who came up with this proposal back in 2006 in regards to creating the state's property tax credit fund. But I think the reality speaks for itself. This was a proposal that I worked with Governor Ricketts in the legislature to provide major increases in direct property tax relief. But the bigger issue is, over the last 4 years, the restaurant tax has brought in over $100 million to the city budget. There is no way the city could have balanced its budget without the restaurant tax, and to say otherwise is simply not being straight with the facts.
Next question. By the way, did your property values go up on your houses? Douglas County Assessor Diane Battiato has been hammered, of course, for months for higher valuation on his home. First of all, I'm asking, this is for Mr. Mello to start, is the criticism warranted? And secondly, if political subdivisions like the city, the schools, other taxing bodies, if they just lowered their tax rates, citizens would not be paying any more in taxes, even if the valuations rise. So as mayor, would you lower the tax rate to avoid a windfall of taxes from higher valuations?
Well, the first part of your question, Brian, I think speaks to something I've been talking about across the city, and that's building relationships. That's a mayor who can spend time with county officials, whether it's the county assessor or the county board, and talk about these issues before they become public in the sense of the windfall kind of tax issue that hit everyone across Douglas County. And I've said this very clearly, that I think the mayor has an obligation to spend time with the county assessor before that information comes out to start the discussion and the planning process as soon as possible. Now, I would say to some extent the mayor and I have a very similar position in regards to windfall property valuations, which we're seeing this year, as well as what we saw last year in regards to the state Turk ruling. That any time the city sees a valuation increase that's been unexpected, I believe the mayor has an obligation to work with the city council to try to find ways to lower that actual tax rate. Because that was not valuation that the city had ever planned on, nor is it based on anything that we would see on economic growth that traditionally happens year over year on a percentage of what we traditionally see valuation increases. So for me, I issued a statement back earlier this year saying that I would work with the city council to reduce property tax rates in years like this when we see windfall valuations, because I don't believe it's good for taxpayers, but I also don't think the city should be reaping the benefits of an unforeseen valuation that was not connected to economic growth.
Mayor Stothert?
As I develop the city budget, and I've done four budgets now, and they usually take us about a year to do it. You know, the all-fund budget is over $900 million. The general fund right now is about $370 million, so it takes a long time to do it. But we always meet with the Douglas County assessor months before the true preliminary information comes out at the end of March. What people found out what Diane Battiato was planning on doing, she had not discussed it with us at all, because the true preliminaries had not come out yet, which is always in March. So we always meet with her, and we always do talk to her. Now, as far as the city's concerned, if they were left the way the original valuations were coming out, the windfall from the city, the total windfall, is only a little over $8 million. And to the general fund, it's a little bit over $4 million. So the actual windfall isn't as much as you think it would be. However, right now, and it changes every year, one penny of property tax revenue equals about $3.1 million. So what I did is I went and spoke in front of the Douglas County Board, and I promised during that testimony that I gave, if those evaluations stayed high the way they were, that we would lower property tax rates again, like I've already done twice, to try to relieve what the taxpayers are going to be increased in paying. The issue is what she tried to do is she tried to catch up with about 10, 11 years of neglect of not valuating properties, which are actually supposed to be revaluated annually, and was trying to catch up with around 10 years in 1 year. And most of the valuations she had, they have to be by state law between 93 and 100%. She moved them at that time originally all up to 100%. Now, they have been revised right now, so we're refiguring what the actual impact will be.
Mr. Mello, 30 seconds.
I think as much as anything else, the mayor and myself have a very similar position in regards to wanting to lower the tax rate based on these windfall valuations. I would say, though, my record in the legislature regarding property tax relief has been very clear, as I mentioned earlier, not only in regards to increasing the state's property tax credit fund, but advocating against opposition of an administration in a legislature earlier in my first term of eliminating state aid to cities like Omaha, which we knew at the time when that aid was eliminated, it would result in a tax increase or some form or another because the city of Omaha lost close to $7 million.
Mayor Stother, 30.
The state of Nebraska has talked and studied for years and years and years about restructuring the state's tax structure, and they have not done anything yet. You know, and that's a concern to me, too. As far as the state, they're the ones that determine how property is valued. It's a state law that determines it's between 93 and 100%. And so these are things as far as the state's tax structure that we have been asking the legislature to work on for years and years and years. They need to do their job. What I can do locally is recommend to the city council to lower the tax rate, and that's what I have done twice.
Crime, that's always a big issue for voters. It's been a big issue in this campaign as well. We're going to dive down to just a bit of a specific. The police chief has repeatedly told us that his officers cannot do it alone. They need our eyes and our ears to helping make the streets safer. Our question, is the city doing enough by working with nonprofits who have the same goals as a safer city for all of us?
Am I first?
Yep.
Absolutely. In fact, Chief Schmatter has always said, number one, we have said crime is down in Omaha. You know, in 2015, 6 out of the 7 indexes showed marked improvement. In 2016, the two crimes that we use to evaluate gang activity the most, homicides, down a 13-year low. Shootings, down a 10-year low. We have made a lot of progress. Response times for priority one calls are down during my administration, and that's undisputable. But we cannot do it alone. And there are many civic groups, from the Empowerment Network to 360 to our Faith and Community Task Force that we have, Faith and Community volunteers that we have, the school districts, our administrators in the school. We work with all of those groups all the time. And when we talk about if you're going to address crime, you have to address it at the root of the problem. And that's exactly what we have been doing ever since Chief Schmatter has been chief. And that's why I feel like you see such a difference in the amount of crime that is occurring in Omaha. Now, you know, I always talk about crime and the perception of crime, because we can show you statistics and we could show you our data and we could show you that crime is down and it's trending down. If you look at the first 2 years that I was mayor and you look at the number of crime incidences and compare them to the second 2 year, it's down by the thousands. But we can't do it alone. And the reason we are addressing it at the root is because we are working with all of these community groups and they are so engaged, and that's why you are seeing so much progress.
Senator Mello.
Well, this is just another example where the mayor and myself will have a respectful disagreement, because I believe facts speak for themselves and the data speaks for itself. And violent crime in the city is up over the last 4 years. Response times on average are up over the last 4 years. Response time tier two or priority two response times are up over the last 4 years. And so to some respect, we're going to have a respectful disagreement in regards to the interpretation of the facts. But looking at OPD statistics and the FBI statistics that were released by the Omaha World Herald on Tuesday show that crime is actually up, particularly violent crime is up. Now, I've been campaigning since I announced back in August that the only way we're going to truly address crime in the city is we have to have a comprehensive approach. I've said we're going to have to make more investments and build more capacity in our public safety departments by building a fifth police precinct in the western side of the city, of expanding resources for frontline officers, technology and equipment for our police department. But like in healthcare, if you simply treat a symptom, you'll never actually cure the disease. And crime prevention has been something I have been campaigning on across this city. And to some extent, talking about lack of living wage jobs, lack of access to behavioral health care, lack of access to reliable transportation, and a lack of access to quality, affordable housing are issues that people across this city are telling me they are not seeing leadership from the mayor on. for the mayor to say that this is being done with no blueprint, with no document that we can show this is what is being done from City Hall, I think is not being forthright in regards to what I've heard working with these organizations as a state senator, particularly over the last 4 years.
Mayor Southert?
I think the fundamental difference between me and Heath Mello is I do trust the police chief and his command staff, and he apparently does not. I get my crime statistics from him. He gives me the data every year, and he is very adamant about our crime statistics, that they are accurate. They are not inaccurate. If you talk about violent crime is up, what Heath Mello is talking about is rape. Rape was up in 2016, but Chief Schmutter doesn't attribute that to more rapes are occurring. It's just more are being reported. It used to be one of those crimes that was hidden and wasn't reported as enough. And we have taken a lot of action as far as hiring 56 more police officers. We've been talking about a fifth police precinct for 3.5 years, and we have already put the money in the budget this year that was approved last year for the fifth police precinct. So we have, and body cameras, we already have them on over 100 of our officers, and we're doing the next round next year.
Senator Mello, do you trust the police chief?
Well, I think to some extent, Mayor Stothert's response, I think, is a glimpse of how she looks at people who disagree. The sense that I don't have a bad working relationship with the chief simply because I look at data differently than maybe what the mayor does. And I think it's simply looking at my record in the legislature of working with Chief Schmutter that we have a good working relationship, but we can agree to disagree when it comes to statistics and when it comes to facts. And the mayor has consistently said when you disagree with her or the chief, you are attacking them. And I just simply don't look at governing or that approach the same way, particularly when it comes to hard data that drives our decisions when it comes to public safety.
Let's break out just for a moment here. Is that your style of leadership?
Absolutely not. I mean, if you know what we're having here is a debate, and I never said that if you know, you're attacking Chief Schmutter and myself if you disagree with the data. I just said the data that you're saying and to tell the community that the city is more dangerous or that crime is going up is inaccurate, and we have the data to show it. I get my data from the chief and his command staff. They're the ones that evaluate it every year, and we know where we stand. Those most violent crimes that we talked about, with the homicides being at a 13-year low and the number of shooting incidences at a 10-year low, that is undisputable. Priority one call response times. The response times have decreased since I have been mayor. That is undisputable. So, yeah, we can look at statistics different, but I think the facts are the facts.
Mr. Mello?
Mayor, you just said in your previous answer that I don't trust Chief Schmutter because I look at data differently than you and he does.
That's not calling it an attack.
And the other night at our debate, you also asked me a question of how could I work with Chief Schmutter if I don't trust him because I have a different interpretation of the data. I think that approach itself speaks a major difference between how I look at the world and how you look at the world. I have disagreements with people all the time, but I don't think that they're wrong. I don't think that I can't work with them simply because we look at data or look at an issue in a different way. And I think for you to consistently keep saying that I don't trust someone because I don't see the data the same way, I think that's you're not being honest with taxpayers in regards to the approach that you take in comparison to the approach I take.
Yes, I am being honest. And the other night at the debate, you said you get a lot of your information about crime from Twitter. And I said I get mine from the chief of police. There's a big difference there.
Well, actually, I get it from the police scanner, which I think if anyone who listens to the police scanner will see an unvarnished information that comes from 911 calls. Mm-hmm. That's not anything that you can't listen to or I can't listen to or anyone in the audience can't listen to day in, day out. So for me to get information from the police scanner as well as information from our frontline police officers, our police chief or our firefighters or fire chief, I think getting more information is good. I think getting different opinions is good. And I think having a respectful disagreement in regards to an interpretation of data doesn't mean that you can't work with someone. At least that's the way I've approached my time in public office.
And I would say what an insult it is to all of these community groups, all of these crime-fighting groups we have, Empowerment Network, 360, our Faith and Community Task Force, our business leaders, our leaders in education that have worked so hard with the city to decrease crime, and they talk about it all the time, about our improvements and our successes in the city, to turn around and say, you're all wrong, because my statistics, the way I look at it, are different.
Mayor, I think to some extent you know my involvement in a lot of those organizations. So for me to say anything about the good groups that I work with, I think is a bit out of bounds. But I think the reality is data speaks for itself. I don't think it's left up for a political interpretation. As the World Herald wrote a front page story on Tuesday explaining that the Omaha Police Department's data and the FBI's data shows that violent crime is up in our city. And it showed a number of different crimes over the last 4 years that is up. I didn't say it was because of Chief Schmatter. I didn't say it was because of frontline officers. I didn't say it was because of good community organizations trying to improve their neighborhoods. It's simply data and it's simply a fact. And I think I'm running for mayor because I believe we can be a better city. And I believe we need a mayor right now who's willing to bring more people together, have an honest conversation about where we can go as a city, and use data as a driving point for that discussion, and not simply pretend that things are going great without really addressing some very deep issues that we know we have to face as a city.
15 seconds. And
well,
then
I do think Omaha is more than okay. And I will tell you, in 2015, of the 6 out of the 7 indexes we used to evaluate crime saw marked improvement. In fact, it was an overall 14% in reduction of crime. In 2016, there was a few crimes, like violent rape that I said, that statistically were up. But our number of homicides and our number of shootings were both down, and you hardly see any other city in the entire country of our size that saw such a dramatic increase in homicides and the number of shootings in 1 year. Those are great successes, and I'm very proud of the Omaha Police Department and our community partners.
All right, we've been off script there, so I think we've kind of talked that one enough. Next question.
We have more to say.
Well, we probably could fill the whole hour with that. Next question is for Senator Mello. To what extent should the city be welcoming and protecting immigrants and refugees in Omaha? And are you concerned the actions would jeopardize the money the city gets from the federal government?
Brian, that's a great question. And I know this has been a point of contention between me and the mayor over the last month or so, specifically in regards to Omaha being a sanctuary city. I've been very clear, Omaha is a sanctuary city. And the reason why it's a sanctuary city is based off a longstanding department policy in the Omaha Police Department that ensures that our police officers do not serve the role as immigration, customs, and enforcement officers. We don't have frontline police officers pulling people over and questioning whether or not they're here in our country legally or if they're undocumented. That is something that separates Omaha from a lot of other cities, and we have a policy in place that the chief has spoken on of saying this policy helps make sure Omaha is a safer community. And the reason why we're a safer community because of that policy is it allows anyone in our city to feel that they can communicate to a police officer if there's been a crime committed against them, a crime committed in their neighborhood, and they don't fear the repercussions of the police department coming in and acting as a federal immigration officer. I support the existing policy. I think that policy has been good for our city. I believe it will continue to be good for our city, and I believe that policy creates a more welcoming environment for our city moving forward. Now, in regards to any loss of federal funds, I think we all know that there is no definition of what a sanctuary city even is, and to some extent, any potential violation or whatever comes from the federal government no doubt will be challenged in a court of law, which has already been discussed when the new administration took over in January.
Mayor Stauffer?
I would totally disagree that Omaha is a sanctuary city. I think your information is wrong. A sanctuary city, although there's no legal definition, it generally means that a city has laws, practices, or policies that will obstruct the federal immigration laws. We do not have that. We work with ICE. Immigration has always been a federal issue. We work with ICE. We do detain and we do deport. Just because there is a mission, there isn't the mission of the Omaha Police Department to act as ICE's agents doesn't mean that we are a sanctuary city. It has always been a federal issue. So the Omaha Police Department's mission is not to go around checking people's legal status or legal papers. They don't have the resources or the ability to do that. If the Omaha Police Department pulls someone over for speeding and they suspect they may be illegal, they can write a report and they can send it to ICE, but they do not have the ability to check their legal status. That does not mean that we are a sanctuary city, and we certainly will not stand back and let people get away with their actions if they are criminals. If there is criminal activity and that person is incarcerated, absolutely, their immigration status will be run and it will be checked, and if there's any ICE holds on them, ICE will be contacted. That does not mean we are a sanctuary city if they don't act as ICE's officers. It doesn't mean that at all. So I will argue we are not a sanctuary city. We have not been. And I would argue that being a sanctuary city is not good for the citizens of Omaha.
Senator Mello.
We're just going to have to respectfully disagree on this. And the mayor just made my point that police department and police officers do not pull people over, do not arrest someone if they're in our country with undocumented status. The president of the United States has said he's going to empower police officers to act as immigration officers. That will stop sanctuary city, so to speak, moving forward. Omaha is a sanctuary city. We have been one for a number of years based on this policy. And no matter any way the mayor tries to describe it, since there is no legal definition both at the federal level and or locally, we're going to continue to provide that safe harbor for people based with our police department policies and procedures.
And again, Heath Mello is wrong on that. We are not a sanctuary city, and the Omaha Police Department cannot pull someone over just strictly based on questioning someone's legal status. They cannot do that. And that again, they do not have the resources. They do not have the ability to get into the federal immigration files to check somebody's legal status. You can't check their status by looking at them. I mean, they might have, if they not even have a driver's license, they might have a green card, they might have a visa. You can't tell by looking at someone. And so that, no, they do not do that. But that does not mean that we are a sanctuary city. And if there is any question, they absolutely can write up a report and give it to ICE to track that person down. But that's not the mission of the Omaha Police Department, to do the work for the federal immigration officers. It's not their mission, and they don't do that. It doesn't mean we're a sanctuary city.
Next question. This is for Mayor Stothert. In tough economic times in particular, libraries are used more and more by its citizens, especially families. This question, kind of a three-parter, so try to follow. Mm-hmm. Do you have an Omaha Public Library card? If so, how do you use the libraries? Read a good book lately? And thirdly, what needs to ensure libraries have a future?
Well, first of all, do I have a library card? That's a good, you know what? I bet you I don't. Because I go into our libraries a lot, but I probably don't have a card, so I will admit that I don't.
You just, however, say you're mayor. I'm mayor, give me a book.
No, I don't. I don't do that. However, we do have 12, yeah, that doesn't work. We do have 12 public libraries, and they have been a priority to the city for years. We have put more money in the public libraries since I have been mayor every single year. We're not cutting them, we put more in there. And the you know, what I feel very strongly about, and I have asked the Library Board of Trustees to do this too, and we have a new library director in the city of Omaha, and she's doing a wonderful job because we're really trying to modernize and upgrade our libraries. But I asked them to do a facilities plan for the Omaha Public Libraries. You know, we have 12 public libraries, to really let us know what we need now and into the future as far as our library system goes. One of the things that I really care about is our downtown library. Number one, it's prime real estate property right there at the end of the Jean Leahy Mall. But also, a downtown library has to fit the needs of the customers. And what we are working with our Library Board of Trustees and the new library director is, what do we need if we want to build a new downtown library? There's a great site for it now at the Civic Auditorium site. There's always been a civic component at that site when we first had the conceptual design of it. And we are working now with them of what a downtown library would look like. Could it be part of a regular traditional books library and another due space? So that is something we're working with them right now. Perfect spot where the Civic Auditorium site was, with the access to Central High and to Creighton both. But yes, I think that there's a lot of people who care a lot about our public libraries. I do too. We've done a lot of technology upgrades since I've been mayor too. But I think they are thriving, and they will continue to thrive.
Senator Mello.
Yes, I have a library card. Yes, I've used the libraries during the campaign, not as much. Traditionally used them for a lot of community meetings in South Omaha, particularly the South Omaha Library, as well as utilizing their technology there. And I would say, to some extent, the future of the libraries in our city is going to be truly based upon leadership from the mayor's office. The ability for the mayor to try to build the public-private partnerships that we know are needed to be able to enhance our existing library system, because they have consistently over years said that they have been one of the lowest-funded public library systems in the country. Now, the mayor did bring up an issue that I've discussed at a previous forum, which is the public library master plan. I've spoken with library trustees that are no longer part of the library system, and they were very clear with me. that they requested funding from this mayor to do a capital facility master plan, and the mayor would not provide the funding in the budget. Now, this recent year, they asked again for the full amount of money. The mayor did provide some amount of the money, but required then the Public Library Foundation to go have to raise money to go find the rest of it to do this actual study. For me, I think that is indicative of if you value libraries, you will find a way to determine the future of your library system when it comes to a facility master plan. And as I've said this before, I don't believe we can be just coming up with ideas of how we want to build a new library downtown or anywhere else until we see this master plan first. I'm convinced more than anything else in spending time, particularly in the western end of our city, they have consistently told me in knocking doors that they need library services now more than ever. And to some extent, I think when we see this facility's master plan come out, we will find and see that the services in the western end of the city is lacking, and that we will have to find a way to build a public-private partnership in a new model moving forward with our philanthropic community to make our library stronger than what we see it today.
Mayor Stothert, 30 seconds.
I will say that statement is false, that they asked me for money for a study that I didn't provide. When they asked me for money for the study, we did provide it. I am the one that asked for that facility master plan to be done. And so they are doing it. They're in the process of doing it because we want to know what they need now and into the future, because the future libraries may be different. Look at the due space. That has exceeded and been successful beyond expectations. So do we need more of those in Omaha? Do we need a combination? That's what I'm talking about downtown. But when we talk about what the downtown library will be and should be, it is absolutely going to be determined by community engagement. And that's what our new library director and myself want to do. What do the customers need downtown? And then we will start developing what that type of a building will be. But the master plan will show the number of libraries that we need all over Omaha, where they should be, where the locations should be. And I agree, we might have to look at where we need to move more out west. The Millard Branch is one of the busiest libraries we have. We have a library out in Elkhorn, but that's only one library out in Elkhorn. So with this master plan, we'll tell a lot of information, but we will engage the community before we make any moves.
Senator Mello.
I'm just grateful that the mayor brought up the due space, because that's indicative, I think, of the lack of leadership we've seen from this mayor when it comes to libraries over the last 4 years. The due space was purely funded with private and other public partners, was driven by other people outside of the city of Omaha. And that entire entity and that entire initiative was driven outside of the mayor's office, because they were able to bring people together with a vision to say, this is the future, what we believe, of our library system when it comes and connects to advanced manufacturing, technology, and innovation. I think that is right there indicative of the lack of vision that we're currently seeing and the lack of the ability to bring people together inside the mayor's office to make a project like that come to fruition.
That statement is not true either. I worked with all of the private donors that were putting the due space together for months and months and months. We had meetings in my office. They told me what their plan was. They told me what their research that they were doing. And they told me how it was going to be funded, and it was going to be funded all with private dollars. That was their decision. And their original plan was, after it was funded, they were going to see the success over a certain period of years. And the plan originally was, then it was going to be handed over to the city, and the city would take it over, which I agreed to do. So to say that I wasn't involved at all or had a lack of leadership or vision, I think is just false, and it's political jargon.
Mr. Mello, care to respond?
Mayor, I've spoken with those same individuals part of this project, and there's a reason why it was not driven by the mayor's office. I don't know how to describe it any other way except that this was an initiative by the private sector and the philanthropic community. They had a chance to say, we want the city to be our partner in making this happen, and for whatever reason, they didn't make the city a partner in making the due space a reality. So whether or not it's a question of having a meeting or a conversation, there was an opportunity for the city to be at the table saying, this is a vision that we want to help drive forward as well. This is where we think we can go as a city when it comes to our library system. And the city was not in that position moving
forward.
Your
statement is wrong. The city was at the table. And I think right now you're making things up. The city was at the table. We knew about it. We knew what their plan was. We knew what their direction was. And we knew that they wanted to privately fund it. They went all over the country and looked at opportunities with other libraries and how they run and how they work. That was their desire. And the city was a partner and has been a partner. From the original plan that it would be handed over to the city in a certain period of time, that may have changed because they are overwhelmingly successful now, but it's not because the city said we're not interested in it. We have been a partner. We have been a partner from the beginning.
This next question for Mr. Mello. Both of you have significant track records in politics, from city council to mayor, 8 years with the legislature. That said, how would you describe your governing philosophy as different from your opponent's? And tell me something you admire about your opponent.
Well, I would say my philosophy has been very clear from my time in the legislature of trying to be someone who's a convener, a facilitator, and someone who builds consensus. I think a lot of the issues in a legislative body like the unicameral is very difficult when you have urban senators, rural senators, Democrats, Republicans, independents, liberals, moderates, and conservatives. And somewhere along the line, my Republican majority colleagues were able to decide that they wanted to entrust me with the state budget process and elected me chairman of the Appropriations Committee. We were able not only to balance state budgets, we were able to not only provide tax relief, but we were able to tackle some significant issues involving education funding, criminal justice reform, and infrastructure financing. I think the approach that I've taken in my time in public office and talking during this campaign is one of being a collaborator. One saying that I may not have all the answers, but I believe in bringing people around a table and making sure everyone has a seat at that table and has their voice being heard to see how we can get everyone to walk away from that table feeling like they have ownership over the ideas or the issues that we discussed. Now, in regards to Mayor Stothert, I would tell you this much. I admire Mayor Stothert's ability to continue to focus in regards to wanting to see public safety be addressed. I think that, for me, is something that we have a similar we have some disagreements maybe on facts, but I've seen she has been tenacious in regards to wanting to focus as that being her priority. But I also admire the mayor's willingness to always try to at least spend time with me and the other candidates during this campaign and be very, very, I think, diplomatic, very respectful, very polite. And this is a very rough and tumble experience, and we all know that. And I've appreciated and admire the mayor's willingness, even when we don't agree on something, to shake a hand beforehand, shake a hand afterwards, say that it was a good debate, we had a good conversation, we'll see each other at the next event. I think that, for me, I appreciate that experience and admire that more than anything else.
Mayor Stothert?
I would call my style of leadership consultative, and I always use the word shoe leather. I'm not the kind of mayor that sits in their office all day. I'm out in the community all the time in all seven city council districts. I think with consultative, I think you go back to where I began, you know, as a school board member. I worked and consulted with my school board, and I was on the school board for 11 years. I was elected by my colleagues as president for 3 years and vice president because we worked well together. On the city council, the same thing. Democrats, Republicans, we work together. And I always said to my colleagues on the city council, there may be two or three issues we disagree on, but there's probably going to be 100 more that we do agree on. And I think it's evident since I have been mayor how well I have worked with the city council, Democrats and Republicans. And a good example of that is the city budget. I remembered 1 year when I was on the city council, we had a budget meeting that we were sitting in the chamber till almost 11 o'clock at night. As you noticed, our city budgets now, very little conversation, very few amendments, because I work with the city council at developing the budget. I meet with them ahead of time. What is your vision? What are your plans? What do you want to see me put in the budget? And I think that just shows the collaborative spirit that I have worked with as mayor, as a city council member, and as a school board member. Now, what do I like about Heath Mello? I'm not going to say you have good hair, but I'm going to say he is a very hard worker. And the one thing that I really like about him is I feel like his family comes first. I think that's very admirable. I know his wife. I knew his wife when I was in the city council. I love Catherine. We worked on the .com board together, and I think that is very evident that you love your family and you're a good citizen.
Thank you. Well, I would say
I want to hear more.
Well, I'm humbled, Mayor, by that comment. And I would tell you that obviously Catherine and our kids are no doubt gracious for those comments as well. And I think Joe, you know, as much as anything else, you involving your family in the campaign is admirable. I wish we could, to some extent, with little kids, we're not able to take them out as much. But you've done a great job of keeping your family close and keeping them first as well. And congratulations again on becoming a grandmother in the upcoming year. I think those kind of things is sometimes challenging as this experience can be. There is a human side to what we do, and to some extent, both in regards to both a young family and to some extent expecting more members to a family. I appreciate your kind words and appreciate what you do as well for your kids and your family.
See, we can all get along.
Can I make one small comment? Yes. I've always said any new candidate that comes to me, and that wants to run for office, I always tell them it's going to be harder on your family than it is on you. And I think you would probably agree with that. It's really hard to be a wife or a husband to sit in the audience and listen to somebody attack you or say things that are wrong about you. Taylor Royal is here today. I said the same thing to him and his wife and his family, and I know we all agree. It is tough. But thank God people will go out and run for public office and try to do the right thing. So, again, appreciate all you being here because I know it means a lot to you, too.
We're running short on time, so for this next question, we'll give you just a minute for it. I want to make sure you get your 2 minutes at the end for closing arguments. This question goes to Mayor Stothert. Mm-hmm. No matter how much we dive into the weeds on policy and philosophies today, elections are often won and lost on how well a city keeps us safe, plows the streets, picks up the trash, fixes the roads. Based on that, Mayor, will voters give you a passing grade?
Oh, I believe they will. I mean, I have always talked about the fundamentals. When I ran for mayor, we started out 4 years ago with a very clear vision, and that vision was to keep our city safer, to straighten out the city budget, to grow our city economy and jobs, and to make us more customer service, make us with better customer service. And I think as you see the things that we have done to improve customer service, you know, we have a new snow plan now to make it much more efficient than it was before. I purchased 14 new snow plows and added 16 more people to the Public Works Department. We are evaluating now a new trash plan, garbage pickup plan for your solid waste, yard waste, and your recyclables. I think that the efforts that we have made, street resurfacing, always a huge issue. When I was on the city council, we had about $2.8 million in 2010 in street resurfacing. We have about $11 million now and about $320 million in the capital improvement plan for streets and transportation. And also another $6.8 million for the unimproved roads. So I think people see that we have made a big effort. Roads, of course, we have a lot more work to do. They're 50 years behind, and you can't catch up in 4 years. But every year they get a year older. And so I think people see that we have made a great strides and great improvements, and we delivered on those promises that we've made. But working together, we will continue moving forward with our successes. So, yes, I believe they will give me a passing grade.
Mr. Mellor, based on some commercials I've seen, I suspect you have some things to say.
Well, I wouldn't be running for mayor if I didn't think we could be a better city when it comes to delivering city services. And I think it's simply to go out and drive around the city right now, and you'll find out why a report last fall noted Omaha having the seventh worst streets in the country, that we are facing an infrastructure crisis right now as a city. And to some extent, the mayor and I have a disagreement in regards to what we've seen with yard waste pickup over the last couple of years in regards to the mayor's decision to let waste management out of an obligation they had to pick up our yard waste and to threaten the OmoGrow program moving forward. I'm just convinced right now we as a city can be much more innovative and much more creative when it comes to providing city services. I've unveiled a plan to try to change and reinvent the way City Hall operates, bringing in some of the best practices from the private sector, looking at ways to cut red tape, and trying to truly engage the public at the front end of processes by creating the city's first ever civic engagement plan to bring people inside City Hall to help us make it not just more technology friendly, but truly try to put people first when it comes to the city's services they expect and what outcomes they truly want to see from every single city department.
15 seconds.
Well, first of all, I'll go back to waste management. I did not let them out of the contract, and that's been evident in the news lately. Last 2 years, we had a nationwide shortage of drivers. Trash, our yard waste was sitting on the people's curbs for 4 and 5 days, and it was a health and safety hazard. So I allowed them and directed them to co-mingle and collect for 2 years because it was a safety issue. But we did not let them out of the contract. And, in fact, we fined them, and they'd reduce the cost to the city during that period of time, too. And they are collecting it separately again this year. So my time is up, and I had so much more to answer.
We'll go to closing arguments here. Okay. We'll get in that time. And we had drawn earlier, and that was based on the arrangement. You have 2 minutes, and we start with Senator Mellor.
Well, thank you, Brian, for moderating today's debate. Obviously, thank you to the League of Women Voters, WWT, and obviously the Omaha Press Club for bringing us all together. I think it was a good conversation, a good dialogue, and no doubt we'll continue this experience for, I believe, the next 24 days as we get 25 days as we get closer to May 9th. But more importantly, obviously, thank you for coming out and sharing this time with us. As I've said before, I'm running for mayor because I believe we can be a better city. Growing up the son of a factory worker, and my mother was a house cleaner, my parents raised me with some very fundamental values that I hold dear to me to this very day. The values of hard work, taking responsibility for your actions, to look out for those less fortunate than yourselves, and to live by the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And when I announced my intention to be your next mayor this past August, I said there was two main motivations of why I decided to run. The first was that I simply believed that the city of Omaha needed to have a unifying, aspirational vision for the future. That we needed as a city to become a city that focused on expanding opportunities for everyone in our city so that we could truly become a more welcoming, more connected, more innovative Omaha. And the second reason was something that was just a bit more personal. My Catherine, my wife, and our two kids, our daughter Angelina and our son John Francis, we go to bed at night wondering and worrying about what we're going to leave them as parents, but also what we're going to leave them as a city. And I know we're not the only ones who go to bed thinking about that. Will we leave them a city that allows them and children like them to be able to go find good paying jobs and great careers here in Omaha so they don't have to leave to go to Denver or Chicago to go chase their hopes and dreams? Will they inherit a city that is truly focused on technology, focused on being more innovative and making sure that our neighborhoods are safe no matter where they choose to live? I'm running for mayor because I believe our city has missed significant opportunities over the last 4 years and that we as a city have some very urgent issues that we have to address. And we need a mayor who has the energy, the focus, and the vision to bring people together, to build consensus, and make Omaha a better place, not just for the next 4 years, but for the next 20 years. With that being said, my name is Heath Mello, and I'd be honored to have your vote in the upcoming May 9th general election for mayor. Thank you.
Mayor Stothert, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you all for being here today. Thank you to the voters for listening to us. Thank you for our sponsors. And I wish all of you a very happy holiday weekend also. And it is such an exciting time for me to be the leader of the city as your mayor. The cooperation and the spirit we have right now in this city between organizations and individuals are so positive right now. And we have come a long way in the last 4 years. The city is safer now. The budget is under control. We've turned deficits into surpluses. We've lowered your property tax rate twice. We've renegotiated every labor contract now to give some stability to the city. The economy is growing. People are investing in Omaha right now. Since I've been mayor, $2.7 billion worth of economic investment in the city and 53,000 building permits. Things are going in the right direction. We have modernized City Hall. We have grown our economy, and things are heading in the right direction. Now, we don't just get on these national lists by chance. We have been in the last 4 years on many national lists. Best place to raise a family, best place to find a job, top city for millennials to be in, best place to retire. Those things don't just happen, and they weren't happening 4 years ago. So in the next 4 years, I will continue to focus on the fundamentals, public safety, balancing the city budget, improving city services. But I will also focus on making Omaha a more inclusive city, to focus on greater neighborhood support, a more vibrant downtown, and a new riverfront as our new signature. It has been an honor and a pleasure to serve as your mayor for the past 4 years. And I'm asking for your vote and support so I can continue another 4 years. And together, we're not just okay. We are a great city. And together, we can make it an extraordinary city. So thank you all for being here and for listening today. And we ask you to all go out and vote on May 9th. That's the important thing. Thank you.
You've been listening to a special luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we've heard a debate between the two candidates for mayor of the city of Omaha in next Tuesday's election. The participants were the incumbent mayor, Jean Stothert, seeking her second term in office, and her challenger, Heath Mello, a former member of the Nebraska Unicameral, representing the 5th District. This program, co-sponsored by the League of Women Voters of Greater Omaha, was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Friday afternoon, April 14, 2017, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club holds these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be Monday, May 15th at 12 noon. At that time, the guest speaker will be Don Bacon, a member of the United States House of Representatives from Nebraska's 2nd Congressional District. Congressman Bacon will talk about his first 100 days in office. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 402-345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 600 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.